are you calling bums, pal?
You.
Randy.
Listen, we got two more of us in the back seat. Pity the back seat. If you're
Stop
looking
it.
For a fight.
I am looking for a fight.
Come on, put
Let's
the
go.
Down.
Come on, right now.
Come
right
on.
Now.
Bruh. Episode 20 of Mission Statements, a Delta Bravo Urban Exploration Team podcast with my guest, and I'm going to put it out there, and it's several people within the Delta Bravo group, I'm sure, will agree. I'll say that I think that you are definitely one of the MVPs of the group that do this whole film location thing, because I don't know what you do for a living. It might come into play as far as why you are all over the place so much, which is definitely a bonus, but you have such an eclectic taste and have hit so many spots consistently. And I love the fact that even on your Instagram page that you love bad movies. And I think that's awesome.
That's very nice of you. You never even introduced me.
You are Mr. Steve Dahlman, the MVP.
Thank you very much. I'm the movie ninja on Instagram. Yeah,
yes, you are. So what's going on, man? See, it's weird because me and you, like, we message each other, like a lot of the guys in the groups and stuff, and we comment back and forth. But you, I like your style because you just post and go and post and go, and you flood everything with so much stuff that I think it's awesome. You're almost like an enigma.
I do one post a day, no more. One post a day. Excuse me. And that's it. It's like a tactical airstrike. I get in, I do what I need to do, and I get out because I'm pretty busy. I got a lot of stuff going on. So I just try to do my post, like a bunch of other people's posts, and then that's it. I'm gone till the next day.
Right. Yeah. But what's awesome about that is that you post one every single day consistently.
The only time I didn't, there have been like a year ago, there was one day, 6 months ago, there was 2 days. And then if you noticed, I was absent for about 5 days because I was dealing with, depression is a major thing. I was dealing with short-term depression because 2 days before Christmas, my co-instructor and I were robbed at the gas station just before you go to the Oakland airport. Everybody that's listening, do not go to the Chevron freaking station by the Oakland airport. You will get robbed. It was awful. But basically, I lost all of my filming locations, all the ones. So like, I usually fly into a city. The last place I was, San Rafael. So I'll fly into San Rafael. I'll get there on a Sunday. I have all day to get my class set up. And then the rest of the day, I do filming locations. I might get 25 pictures, of which I only do one a day. So I've got a storehouse. I had a storehouse of about 400 locations. I could not travel for about a year and a half and still post one a day. And I lost about a third of them. Everything within the last time I backed up was about a year ago. So I lost everything in the last year. And so I was for 2 days, I was just, oh God, first I've got to tell the government that one of their computers was stolen because I'm a Fed. I work for the federal government. Okay. Then I've got to replace all my stuff that was stolen. And then the depressing thing was all the data, all my filming locations. So I managed to go back into my my iPhone, like recently deleted, and I got all the stuff from, I think my last couple of big trips were New York and Los Angeles. And I managed to get, I think, all those, but I lost a lot of like Better Off Dead and a lot of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, ones that I normally can't get to. Cause when I'm in Chicago, I don't have a rental car. I can't get an hour south north of Chicago to go to where Groundhog's Day was filmed. So
Right. It's
just starting the process over again. I'm going to have to start all this over.
You are. But I guess with your job, you get to travel a lot, which is amazing. Like me, I work in Manhattan. I work like four or five blocks from Times Square. I mean, I'm in a treasure trove of locations. You know what I mean? Yeah. I found the whole Delta Bravo group in early 2016, about 4 years into its inception. And I mean, you probably hit more than I have. And I have a little bit over probably about 1,100 different locations that I've hit, but not just New York. I mean, the majority are the tri-state area, but you can't even put a dent or a scratch in the surface being like either like in LA or in New York. Like all that ever happens is I have a list and photos in my phone, in a separate folder in my phone. And right now there's probably 300 and something of them that I need to hit. But some of them have been in there for like 2 years, but the list just keeps growing and growing, even though I'm consistently hitting stuff. And that's just only in New York. It's never ending, which is amazing.
Yeah, so many movies
and I mean, and everybody, what's awesome about the Delta Bravo group is there's no rules per se. There's no rules. Like everyone has their own style of how they hit their things. You do the top and bottom or the left side by side, which is awesome. Several people do. I put them together most of the time. Everyone has their own style of how they do it. And the only rule that we really have is post the address and put a logo on it. That's it. But there's no rules as far as like movies or TV shows or famous athletes or childhood homes or true crime scenes and stuff like that. Like it's all basically what you're into. It's not like, oh, you can't do that. It's just full address and a logo. That's basically the rules.
Yeah, I know some of you guys are into like video filming locations or album covers, which I think those are pretty cool. I don't do them personally, but I think they're pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, if I was walking by the apartments where they filmed the cover for Hotel California, I would take out my camera and take a picture. I wouldn't spit on it, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of stick to movies. I try to do bad movies when I can.
Why is that? I find that to be awesome.
So there's this podcast out there. There's an actor named Paul Scheer. He's been in a whole bunch of things. His wife is June Diane Raphael, and she's the bitchy daughter in Frankie and Johnny. It's the one with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, is a couple of older women. She's the bitchy daughter. And then Jason Mantzoukas, who's hilarious. He's been in, he was in one of the John Wick movies. He was the TikTok man. TikTok, Mr. Wick, TikTok. They're all three of them friends. And they went to a movie about 10 years ago and said, sweet Jesus, how did this get made? This is awful. They had an idea to do a podcast. And so every week they watch a horrible movie and then they talk about it for an hour. And it's so good that now they do live shows all around the country. I got to go to one of their live shows. They did a horrible Nicolas Cage movie called Deadfall. And I got to see their live thing. So that's how I got started doing with the bad movies.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of bad Nicolas Cage movies. There's a ton of them.
Some people would say most of them, yeah.
Yeah, the vast majority are terrible. But he has a handful of really, really, really good ones, but most of them are just bad.
You know, he did an Ask Me Anything on Reddit not too long ago, and I listened to part of it. My daughter watched it, and she came out of that respecting him a lot more because basically he said, look, I'm in it for the fans. The fans, the fans want to see me in a movie. I go in a movie. All I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do the best job in whatever movie I'm in. Has he made some bad decisions? Did he buy a house in New Orleans where a bunch of people were murdered? Absolutely. Did he buy a Tyrannosaurus, part of a Tyrannosaurus Rex? Yes. Were they taken away from him because he couldn't pay his taxes? Yes. But he's
basically
a nice guy.
Did he name his son after Superman's real name?
Yes, like the son Kal-El. I mean, how can you hate a guy like that, right?
You can't. You got to love that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So now, because I know for me, and everyone knows the story. I don't know if you do, but I'm not the guest here. What gave you like this bug just to initially just starting to do this stuff? Obviously, you're a lifelong movie buff.
I love trivia. I mean, I really get into trivia. I what I do for a living is I work for Secretary Pete, the Secretary of Transportation. It's my job to go to all the transit systems in the United States and teach safety and security. Okay. So like I'm on the road the next 4 weeks. Let's see, next week I'm in Miami teaching a class. Week after that, I'm in Denver teaching a class on SMS. Then I'm teaching a security class in Tampa. Then I got no idea where I'm going after that, but I'm going somewhere. So I'm usually on the road three quarters of the year. That's how I get all the traveling done.
Yeah.
So I do it for work. And so I travel on a Sunday and get into town, get my class set up as quick as possible. And then I've got the rest of the day to do filming locations. Usually I've got a couple instructors with me, co-instructors. They usually are pretty cool about going with me. They think it's a pretty cool gig to go out and take pictures and that kind of stuff. And it gives them something to do, so they're not sitting in a hotel room. And and that's it. So I got started because when I teach, I like to, you know, guaranteed the three things you're always going to get when you have me as a teacher. There are going to be movie videos. There will be music because I used to be a DJ, and there will be trivia. So I always try to have some interesting trivia. Like, oh, here's one. You know, there's a TV show and a website that deals with celebrity gossip. Three letters. Do you know what that is?
TMZ.
You know what TMZ stands for?
I have no idea.
30 mile zone. If you take, now I'm going to make these streets up there. This is an actual, like, two streets, but I don't know that they intersect. But let's say if you look at the corner of Beverly and La Cienega Boulevards in Las Vegas and you in Los Angeles, and you draw a circle 30 miles from that, that's the TMZ, the 30 mile zone. When they shoot within 30 mile zone, that's called a day shoot. They're going to feed you lunch because they don't want you wandering away. But you're not going to get any transportation. You're not going to get any per diem. You're not going to get a hotel. You're not going to get nothing, right? If they shoot outside the 30-mile zone, that's called a location shoot. And so that you have to pay. There's even a website that shows actors and people that work on the cast and crew where the 30-mile zone is and how far they have to travel and are they going to get paid? Is it outside of the 30-mile zone? So a lot of the stuff in Los Angeles is like when you see the start of MASH, when you see the helicopters come over and you're looking over radar shoulder, that's the Disney Ranch. That's right inside the 30 mile zone. The Spawn Ranch, where the Manson family was hanging out, right inside the 30 mile zone. If you've seen the Star Trek episode with the Gorn, the giant lizard that.
Arena is the episode.
I was just watching that the other day.
Amazing.
That's at Vasquez Rocks, which is right inside the 30 mile zone. So they all try to film right in the. So I like trivia. Are you familiar with the numbers 1138?
No.
So George Lucas, his first movie he ever made, my post today on Instagram and Facebook was from the movie THX 1138.
Yes, I actually jotted that down. I'm like, what is that? I've never even heard of that movie.
It wasn't a great movie, but it's a dystopian future, blah, blah, blah. Everybody lives underground and takes drugs, and two people, Robert Duvall, stop taking their drugs. She gets pregnant, and then they start chasing him, and he finally made. Anyway, it's a whole thing. But,
sounds like a thing.
That was George Lucas's first movie. So he puts the numbers 1138 into virtually all of his movies. So really? Like American Graffiti, one of the license plates was 1138. If you watch Star Wars, when Han and Luke take Chewie up in the elevator and they're wearing stormtrooper uniforms and he's got handcuffs on and the guy sitting at the desk says, "What are you doing with this thing?" And Luke says, "Prisoner transfer from cell block 1138. In the Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he's crouched down by some boxes getting ready to hop on the German submarine, you hear over a loudspeaker, ein, drei, acht, which is German for 1138. So he puts that in all of his movies.
Wow, I never knew that. I find that super interesting.
So that's what really got me started, is I really like the trivia. And then I'd be out, you know, walking around and I'd go, oh, this is a filming location. I'll just take a couple pictures. And then my daughter said, you know, you ought to have an Instagram page. And she said, I'll run it for you. And that lasted like 24 hours. I said, you're not doing this fast enough. Teach me how to do it. And I've been doing it.
Nice.
Ever since the first day I started, I took it over and I do it now.
Really? See that's from all the people that I, you know, that do this, that I'm friends with and I speak to, that's unique to how you got started to doing this stuff.
Oh, how did you get started?
All right. Well, I remember basically what sparked it. I was always into like old terrible horror movies as like a little kid, you know, like all the early 80s slasher movies and the Friday the 13th and all that stuff. And I remember, it's funny, on the last episode of the podcast, it's not even out yet. I told the story, but who cares? I'm watching the original Friday the 13th, and I'm like, I don't know, 6 years old, maybe 7 years old. And I always wondered, I'm like, I know that that's not really, most likely not called Camp Crystal Lake. And I know it's filmed somewhere. I wonder where this was filmed and what the real name of that lake is as a little kid. And then years and years go by, and then the internet becomes like a tiny version of what it is now. And a terrible version of, I guess, like MapQuest or something like that was out. And I typed in, I don't know, I found some website or whatever, and I found the location to where it was filmed, and it said it was in Blairstown, New Jersey. So I go onto MapQuest, like Blairstown, New Jersey, Camp Nobby Bosco is the name of the Boy Scout camp, and it's Sand Pond. But I was like, oh, it's like an hour and 45 minutes away. Like, all right, maybe one day I'll go there. I didn't have a driver's license yet. I was young. So I wound up being there, you know, going there a whole bunch of times. And it was just always something like, I always watch things. I was, I wonder where that is. Oh, I know where that is. That's in New York. Like, I know, I pass by there all the time. And then, you know, 1992 comes around and House of Pain comes out, and I'm being from New York and liking all that old hip hop stuff. You know, the House of Pain was everywhere. So I became a fan. And then next thing you know, in 2016, I was doing my other podcast, and I had found the Delta Bravo group, but I hit like one spot or something. And I hit up Danny Boy on Facebook, I guess it was. And he was playing in Philly. And I asked him, because every once in a while on my old podcast, I would do a quick bonus episode. It would be like on location somewhere. So like right in my phone, some of them are 5 minutes, some of them are 20 minutes, like at horror conventions or whatever with certain people. So he called me backstage. I asked him if he would want to do one. He's like, sure, no problem. Next thing you know, it's like we're talking for an hour in the back of this venue about like the Outsiders and this and that and the other thing. And it's just kind of, Danny's a super, super cool guy. And it was an interest of mine since I was a little kid, but I had no idea how to put that, you know, into real life, or where to post that, or what to do with that idea of maybe I should go there and take a picture of where I was. So basically that was the outlet. And I'm like, you know what? This gives me a reason also to get out of the house. Like you said, like you're on a job somewhere, and instead of sitting in a hotel room, you get out and you're just not sitting there bored. You get to do things. So it's like, I'm never bored, ever. I'm always either 90% of the time when I'm on my phone, I'm looking for locations. I'm researching stuff and finding cool shots and trying to plan out when I have the time to go and do this stuff. And it's just been just off to the races from there. I mean, this last summer, I went on this crazy, you know, 8-day road trip, you know, 3,000 miles in 8 days, you know, like from Texas. I flew one way from New York to Austin, all over Texas, up to Oklahoma. Basically, I drove myself all the way back to Brooklyn. I hit like 100, it was like 175 hits I got. It was awesome. And I can't wait to go. Next summer is California. So Spahn Ranch is bucket list for me. Bucket list, you know? And I'm going through some of your stuff. I'm like, oh, like the street where, you know, in E.T., where the bicycle takes off in the middle of the street. Like, I saw you got that. I want to go there bad. And I will go there next summer at one point, you know?
Yeah, I got that one about a month and a half ago. So my last trip to Los Angeles, it was nice. I had a rental car. Sometimes I don't get a rental car, but sometimes I do. So yeah, it's nice when I get a rental car, I can start hitting the places like Better Off Dead or Back to the Future places. You know, they tend to be out a little bit further. So you got to have a rental car to do those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm flying one way from New York to San Francisco. I have a lot of it mapped out. It's not concrete yet. some things are going to come off the list. I'm sure that amongst my travels, I'm going to find other things. So, I mean, that's what happened on this last trip too. I got a whole bunch of bonus stuff, but I'm starting at Alcatraz and then working my way down into LA. And Danny Johnson, I'm sure you've seen him all over the Delta Bravo group. He's all over the place too. He travels a lot with work. So, I think he's some sort of a doctor or a nurse or something like that. He travels all over. But he helped me because I get super confused. I guess it's like maybe somebody who's lifelong, LA, and they don't know the vernacular to New York City. Like, I could be like, oh, yeah, it's downtown. It's over there. It's, in the city. People are like, oh, what's the city? I thought it's New York City. No, the city to me is Manhattan. You know what I mean? When I say uptown, that just means uptown Manhattan. That's not Queens or anything like that. So when it comes to Cali, I get super confused. Oh, yeah, it's down in the valley. It's up in the hills. Like, what hills? Beverly Hills? The Hollywood Hills? Like, so I get confused. So I'm like, Danny, you got to do me a favor. You got to help me out here. So he mapped out basically, for the most part, pretty much in order from north to south all the way, especially the whole L.A. is just mind-boggling to me. And I love going in there and mapping things out. I was getting insane.
Let me ask you, do you use Google Docs or Google Maps?
I use Google Maps.
So what I do is for each city I travel to, I create a Google map, and then I put, here's where I'm teaching, here's my hotel, and here are all the locations that I put the addresses in of all the locations, because I don't tend to have a lot of, sometimes if it's in the summer, hey, we're done with class, I might have a couple hours to go try to do some filming locations. If it's Sunday, I've got all day to do it. But I just bought a tripod. Before then, it was asking people to take my picture. Good luck in New York. I'm sorry, but you guys are the worst.
We're terrible.
Do you want to take my picture? Go fuck yourself. Oh, thank you very much. Chicago's second worst. Most people are, especially if I can hook you long enough to say, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to recreate this picture. Most people, they're in it. Oh my God, that's so cool. You mean, are you telling me that Red Heat was filmed here? Yeah, it was. I'm trying to line up this picture. But New Yorkers are just too busy. They've trained themselves. Listen, if you stop walking and talk to somebody, they're going to ask you for money or they're going to shank you.
There's always something. That's why when I took this last road trip, like, it was so nice, dude. It was just because I'm born and raised in New York. I lived in Jersey for a little bit. I lived in North Carolina for like less than a year. I lived in Miami for a year, I was in the service. But for the most part, I've been within the five boroughs basically my whole life. So it's just, I guess, I hate to say it, but I'm like a product of my environment, like physically and mentally. It's like if you're lollygagging around, you're not going to get to where you need to go. It's just there's too many people and so much going on. So when I got out of here, I literally did not put the radio on in the rental car for a week straight. Not even the radio, man. It was just so nice. And people were so, you know what it is? I'm saying people were so nice. It's not that. People are just normal. You know what I mean? Yeah. I walk into a gas station, whatever store in the middle of Waxahachie, Texas, and it's like, good morning. And everyone's so nice. And we went into the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house and they're thanking us for coming to Texas. I'm like, it's just mind boggling to me, but it was just so refreshing. It's like, wow, like, and it just made me feel like, oh, God, man, I have to come back to New York. And it was like a downer, man. On my way back, once I hit like Baltimore, I'm like, oh, here we go with the bullshit.
Well, Baltimore, is its own special city.
It's special.
I've always heard it referred to as the only city in the United States that marries up Southern efficiency and Northern hospitality.
So I never hit anywhere in Baltimore. I know that there's some spots that I would like to, but it's not on my bucket list.
That is there have been a couple places where I've walked where I thought I was going to get killed. Baltimore used to be number one until I went to Rocky's apartment in Kensington. That was the worst.
I commented on that.
Yeah, it was, that was, I mean, it was, I'm about 6'5", 250. And my co-instructor with me that time was, he was like, he used to be an offensive lineman. He's about 6'5" and about 275. We got in out of that car, got and took the picture and got back in the car in 45 seconds.
Yes.
That was not a great place.
Yeah. Kensington is not, it's the armpit of the country, man.
Yeah. And then
it's bad.
Not too far from Kensington is some of the filming locations. I don't think it's Kensington, but it's where they filmed some of the scenes in Glass. The very first part of the movie Glass, where he's walking around in all these warehouses, you know, that are just closed up and tagged all over the place.
Yes.
And we get out to take a picture, and guy comes walking by us with a Glock. And how you doing? See you later. And just let's take the picture, get back in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all very sketchy. I'm not very, very familiar, but I've been to Philly several times. I've hit spots from Unbreakable there. What's the movie with Denzel Washington with the demon?
Fallen. Yeah, Fallen. They keep singing Time Is On My Side, right?
Yes. Yeah. There too. And it's not far. It wasn't far from Mickey's gym in Rocky.
Oh yeah, I stopped there. That wasn't horrible, but I'll tell you, there was.
You're right there on the line.
There was a heroin addict who was he was bent over, and he was like, apparently his ankle itched, and he was bent over itching his ankle. We got lost. Drove around for 5 minutes, went through the same intersection again. Dude was in the same position, bent over, scratching his ankle. He may still be there.
Yeah, he probably is. And they have really good balance when they're like that. It's very weird. They defy gravity and all
defy
that.
Defy gravity, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's right across the street from the pet store, which is gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. One of my prized possessions is Joe Schellinger, who is one of the guys in the group. I didn't even meet him yet, but this is several years ago. And he saw that I was a big Rocky fan. I hit a bunch of Rocky spots myself, but I haven't hit actual Rocky's actual apartment. I did the one that you did, Paulie's house. That block was insanely bad. It actually, I had to go back like a month later and I got it because I was with my girlfriend and my daughter the first time that I tried that. I didn't even go down that street. It was in the middle of the summertime. There was no way I was even turning left onto that street. There was no way.
It was pretty sketchy. I remember I posted one from there and somebody gave me a little shit. Hey, it doesn't look exactly the same. For God's sakes, man, it's like 40 years since they made the movie. Of course, it's going to look a little bit different.
It's like a war zone. It's bad. There was something I was going to say. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's like kind of like right on the line. I know that the spot from Fallen is an area called Manayunk, which is like basically right outside of Kensington. It's all bits and pieces of Philly. It's very weird. You never know. You know, you could be three blocks over and you could be in the middle of like Beirut, and then you can, you know, three blocks over, you're okay.
Yeah.
Scary spot. Not, I don't recommend hanging out there at all.
Yeah. I don't mind going to New York. I know you said you're from New York. I don't mind going. I don't know that I'd want to spend a lot of time there. One of my co-instructors was from, I think he was from Staten Island originally, and he's now retired to England. But he said, you know, Steve, what it is, you've got a lot of people all competing for a very finite amount of resources.
Yeah.
And you have got to be very aggressive with what you want. You've got to be aggressive with how you talk to people. You don't have a lot of time, and you have to walk because there's people going to slow you down because people walking slowly in front of you. So he said it produces a very aggressive person.
It does. It does. And I'm just like used to it. I'm bobbing and weaving, and I just go. I get tunnel vision, and I'm out. Like I was on the train today. Like I mean, I literally get on the N train at 42nd Street Times Square every single day. It's like, you know, I'm literally in the center of everything.
Have you been to DeFara's lately? I hear old man DeFara died.
He did, and I have not been there in a while.
That's right on Midwood, right? Usually I'll try to hit, if I'm teaching, I'll take the Q train. I'll go one night, I'll go to DeFara's, and then I'll take the Q train all the way down because I love Uzbek food from Uzbekistan. So I'll take it down to, it's the stop right before Coney Island. and get off there. And there's a little
right before the last stop.
I think it's right. There might be one stop after that before Coney Island, but it's
like May 50th, Stillwell Avenue.
I think it's the one after Stillwell, but okay. It takes a big curve and it stops right in front of this Uzbek grocery store. It's open 24 hours and you can get the greatest food in the world and it's not expensive. And oh my God, it's so good.
Really?
Oh God. When I was living in Oklahoma, I just moved up to Minnesota. This is home for me, but my wife retired and said, we're moving back home. And okay. So we moved back to Minnesota in February, but I lived in Oklahoma for 25 years. People are very nice there, but there's really nothing but barbecue and a little bit of Asian, and don't eat Asian food in Oklahoma.
No.
So I love eating the weird food, you know, going out and going to New York because you can find anything in New York.
Oh, dude, everything and anything at all times of night, whatever. You know, I think a lot of, you know, especially like I have a reference point because when I was in the Air Force in the mid 90s, and I used to get so much shit because my last name is Ferrari. It's my right. real last name. And I'm from Brooklyn and I have a heavy Brooklyn accent. So once I was there, it's like I see how and why New York as a whole gets a bad rap. It does, because if you were never here, yes, is it busy? Absolutely. But then again, you know, the media and movies portrays it a little bit different. You know, I mean, I had my drill instructor when I was first there asking me if his car was safe in the parking lot. With me being there, like, come on, dude, really? Like, I joined the Air Force, so I'm going to rob your car. Like, it's ridiculous. But I guess it's just like anywhere else for the most part. There's spots that I won't even go into. And then there's spots where there's not even a gum wrapper on the street. And there's multi-million dollar mansions, yep. You know? So there's good and bad everywhere. So it all picks, you know, you pick and choose where you want to hang out, you know. And if you're like in the middle of Manhattan, it's just a lot of people. There's not really, I wouldn't say it's really dangerous. Just kind of be aware of your surroundings a little bit. You shouldn't walk around paranoid or anything like that. Because then if someone's up to no good and they see that you're scared, then they sniff you out. But if you just get lost in the mix, you know, yeah. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, you said you're in the Air Force. What'd you do in the Air Force?
I was a jet engine mechanic.
Mechanic?
Jet engine mechanic.
Jet engine mechanic. Okay, cool.
Aerospace propulsion journeyman, as you know. Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was awesome. From 96 to the end of 99, I only did one term. You know, I just one enlisted one term basically, and. I wish I would have seen more than I saw. I started out obviously at Lackland Air Force Base, and then I went up to Wichita Falls to Shepherd Air Force Base. What was awesome is that when I joined the service, I didn't know anything about nothing. All I just knew was that planes fly and that's it. I wanted to get out of Brooklyn. I was young. I was a knucklehead, getting into trouble, just doing stupid shit. And, you know, I was like, I've had enough of school. Like, I already fucked all that up. So I'm, you know, maybe I'll try to get some discipline in my life or whatever. But it turns out, like, make a long story short, like, I'm really, really, it's such a weird thing, but I'm actually really, really, really good friends with my drill instructor. I'm the only person from the Air Force, as far as people that he put into the service, that he's in contact with. Like, it's very sure. I met him. He came up here. He was in Jersey. I met him there. I went down on my road trip. We hung out down there. He came back up to New York. I'm bringing him to like mafia spots, the old Ravenite where John Gotti used to hang out. He's walking around in there. So yeah, I was a jet engine mechanic. It was really cool. I was stationed up in Elmendorf, up in Alaska. F-15s, F-16s, and EF-111s.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I never served, but I think behind me those are my dad's medals. My dad was
awesome.
My dad was a colonel. He flew B-17s in World War II. He was a prisoner of war. Yeah, he was shot down. He got, if you've ever seen the movie The Great Escape, he
yes.
got there to Luftstalag 3 about 6 months after The Great Escape happened, and they killed everybody. They basically nobody got away. I think one person got away, but they executed most of the rest of them. He got there about 6 months later. He always said, you know, by that time, the Germans knew they were going to lose, and we're German. My family's German. He said he had to keep exercising every day to keep from putting weight on, because they did not want to piss off the Americans, because they knew they were going to lose, and they did not want to piss off the Americans, because it was a race to see who was going to get there first. Americans or the Russians. So yeah, I've got my dad's medals over there. He's also I think to this day he's still the highest decorated cargo pilot in the history of the Air Force.
Really?
Only C-130 pilot ever to get the Air Force Cross.
That is awesome, man. That is awesome. When I was up in Alaska, there was at Elmendorf, there's three different planes that were there. There was F-15s, there was AWACS, you know, with the big, you know, the dome. The dome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's top secret. Like, I couldn't even go near there. Like there's certain things that even just because I'm turning wrenches on a plane doesn't mean that I could see everything. Like the stealth bombers and the F-117s and stuff. I wasn't even cleared to see that stuff or actually touch it. I saw them all the time, but there was F-15s and C-130s there at Elmendorf. Yeah. But I wasn't a prop mechanic. I was a jet engine mechanic. So I didn't work on them, but they were there all day long. I was working with all these guys.
Yeah. Cool. It's a cool plane. I mean, other than B-52, it's the, one of the oldest planes still in production, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. 100%. They're still in production. Flying around in Vietnam and all that stuff. Yeah, they're C-130 Hercules, man.
That's it. Yeah, his plane was just the plane that he got the Air Force Cross and was just retired. It was sent down to what's the name of the place? It's Davis Monthan, where they filmed part of
Can't Buy Me Love.
Can't Buy Me Love. Love
that's
that down movie.
In, that's right outside of Tucson.
That's it. Yeah. Great movie, but a horrible thing that happened to that girl in that movie. What happened to her in real life?
In real life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just tragic, you know, cause she was, everybody else was like 23, 25. And she was, I think 15 or 16 and her parents didn't go with her for the filming. And she was sexually assaulted by somebody. She would never say who it was.
Yeah.
Just that it wasn't, Patrick Dempsey. It wasn't Patrick Dempsey. It was somebody like vice president in charge of production or, you know, somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. I did. I had a pop, it was called the Brooklyn Blast Furnace and I had like 350 episodes or something. And I actually did an episode with Darcy DeMoss.
Oh, cool. Yes. Yeah. She's I like every once in a while, you know, if I get a famous person to like one of my posts, that's that little extra pat on the back that I like.
Yeah. So she's awesome. She's a sweetheart of a woman.
Yeah, yeah. The two girls that were the friends, each of them has liked one or two of my posts, especially when I do something with Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. We spoke all about that. She was in Friday the 13th, part 6. We spoke about that. So, yeah, very, very cool. But, yeah, man, that's awesome. As soon as we came on, I noticed the flag on your windowsill, and I was wondering if you had served, because I know that, you know, you work for the government, so I figured it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any, like, here's just a silly question off the top of my head. What's your, you know, you're stranded on a desert island, whatever, you get to pick one movie. What movie is that?
You know, my daughter asked me that. She said, what are your five favorite movies? And I had to think about it a while. She ended up getting me a Christmas present from one of them. But Better Off Dead with John Cusack.
Of course.
Love that movie. Although apparently he hated it. He walked out of it, said he'd never act again in a movie that Savage Steve Holland would ever do. But then he
really
had to,
I didn't know that either.
But by contract he had to, and then they made another movie called One Crazy Summer, which just sucked. It was awful.
Yeah, it was bad.
That was bad. But but yeah, that one, probably The In-Laws, with Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
The Martian. Really like The Martian and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Really?
Yeah.
Martian.
You know, I really like Matt Damon. I think he's a good person for one thing. And I think he's a good actor and I think he's a good person. And I just, for something, there's just something in that movie. I just like it. You know, it's like if it's on, if I'm in the hotel and it's late at night and I'm flipping around and The Martian's on. Yeah. I've seen it 15 times. You know what? I turn it on and do some paperwork while I'm doing this.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. And I like Matt Damon. I watched The Departed last night for the 20th time.
I think that was filmed in Boston, right?
It was. And Boston is on my hit list big time. As soon as the weather breaks, it's almost like springtime here in New York. It's very strange.
Yeah.
It's like almost 60 degrees. This is going to be like 65 degrees here tomorrow. This is January now. Like I'm not complaining about it because I hate the cold, but as soon as it breaks and like springtime hits, there's two spots that I need to go before the summertime for my big road trip. I got to go to Boston because there's a whole bunch of stuff that I need to hit there. I need to hit from the movie The Town. I need The Departed. I need like real Whitey Bulger spots. Mystic River. There's so much stuff up there that I want to hit. But then I also want to go out to Ohio to the Ohio. Was it the Ohio Reformatory? Yeah. I got to pay because of it. I mean, that's Shawshank Prison there.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, when you're in Boston, don't forget the movie Second Sight. That sucked.
What is that movie? It's sucked.
John Larroquette and who's the guy that played Balky?
I know who you're talking about.
Bronson Pinchot, right? And then I think Stuart Pankin. They run a psychic private detective agency. And Bronson Pinchot is a guy named Bobby Ray or Billy Sue. I don't know what the hell his name is. This movie sucked so badly. Oh my God, it was awful. Apparently it was supposed to be a TV movie. Then they expanded a little bit more. And I think they put it out in theaters and it was supposed to be a series like, oh, hey, if this movie hits, we think it's going to hit big. And if this movie hits, this is going to be a series and John Larroquette will be the star. And these guys will be this movie blew chunks. It was
really, now I got to research it. And just on principle, I'll hit that for you.
Oh, it's awful. But there's some, I get to teach the T is a pretty big agency, transit agency. And so I'm usually there once or twice a year. And, you know, after you've been somewhere like six times, it's sometimes tough to find places like, one place, no shit, you got to go. When you're in Boston, you have to hit filming locations from, my daughter's going to kill me because it's like her second favorite movie. It's the two brothers who are...
Step Brothers.
Boondock Saints.
Oh, Boondock Saints. Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I got to put that on my list.
Yeah. The church when they come out and they're cupping their hands, lighting up a cigarette. And there's a whole bunch of filming locations there. You know what really sucks is all of these movies there. Like I was in Seattle a couple years ago and I'm going, okay, here's a movie called 88 Minutes. It takes place in 88 minutes, right? And it takes place in Seattle. Great. The whole frickin' movie was filmed in Toronto.
It's the worst.
I hate that, going looking for places and, you know, well, this movie was filmed in Philadelphia, like I think Shazam. Filmed in Philadelphia? No, just the first couple of scenes where they're flying over the city giving you these pictures that you don't want to use for a filming location because they don't have anybody in it. Right. Those are filmed in Philadelphia. Everything else is filmed in Toronto.
Yeah, same with... Because I do like a lot of mafia history and mob hits and all that kind of stuff and true crime stuff. So I was like, you know what? I want to do spots from the HBO movie, from Gotti with Armand Asante from 1996. Right. I'm like, all right, it's got to be, you know. So I'm looking, it looks like New York. No, all Vancouver.
Yep.
Everything. I'm like, how are you recreating Little Italy and the Ravenite and all these FBI surveillance stuff? But it's in Vancouver. It made me mad. I'm like, yeah. Are you kidding me, man?
So much cheaper to film up there, I guess.
There's got to be something. It has to be. Is that what's on your bucket list that you haven't gotten yet that you need to get? There's got to be something.
Oh, honestly, it was the two ones that were Better Off Dead and Groundhog Day.
Okay.
And I managed to hit both of those. I guess, I'm trying to think of what I don't have access to. I guess there are some places where if let's say a movie that was filmed in, what was the movie that was filmed? I think it was filmed in Buffalo or it takes place in Buffalo. It's Bruce Almighty.
Say Jim Carrey?
Yeah. Cause I see, I generally, you're going to find me in places, big cities with big transit systems. So you'll find me in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, places like that.
Yeah.
Movies that were filmed out of the way, like Leander, Texas. Leander has the...
I was in Leander.
My, one, one of my best friends lives in Leander, and he's come down, and where my wife and I go on vacation with him and his wife, you know, sometimes he's one of our instructors. And
I was in Leander.
There's nothing filmed in Leander.
Yes, there is.
It's the cemetery from
Chainsaw Massacre. Yes, I was there.
I got a reason to go there. Now I got a reason to go to Leander. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had so much that I literally, because you probably know this. Of course you do. Like, I'm looking in a certain area. Next thing you know, you're on this rabbit hole, and it's like, wow, this was filmed there. Wow, this was filmed, especially around like in a city. So once I knew that we were flying into Austin, because it was just, you know, I just routed it the way, because the first night, besides, like, once we landed, it was like, we got like literally 2 hours. We stayed in this little hotel, like right by the airport, just basically to take a shower and get a little bit of sleep. And then we just started hitting spots. And that first night, we wound up sleeping at, it was in Bastrop, Texas. Why am I in Bastrop, Texas? But why you would want to go is because you can rent a cabin behind the refurbished and fully functional original gas station from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, I remember reading your post on Facebook about that.
Oh, dude, that's another thing that I always say on this podcast, and even like in personal life. I look at it like, the picture of your location that you post anywhere or whatever is basically just the end result of a lot of behind the scenes experience getting to and from and this and that, jumping in a car and going to places that what the hell am I doing in Waxahachie, Texas? I never even heard of it until I found out that Bonnie and Clyde with Warren Beatty was filmed there, and I got a couple of shots from there on my way to like Waco, Texas. But it's just such an awesome, I guess it's a crazy hobby that we do. And you're out and about, man. It's like this, I found myself in so many places that I just never, ever, ever thought I would ever be, only because of this whole Delta Bravo thing.
You know what it is? It's the thrill of the hunt. Like, I'm not a hunter, but it's doing the research, and it's finding out. Let's see, where am I? Actually, I'm in, I think end of January. I remembered where I'm going to be. I'm in El Paso. About the only thing that was ever filmed in El Paso was a horrible, maybe the worst movie ever made, Manos, Hands of Fate, a movie so bad that one of the main actors committed suicide after it came out because he was so embarrassed at his performance. Oh God, it's awful. I mean, it's literally on many people's list as the worst movie ever made.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now, have you ever watched, Mystery Science Theater 3000? That's what really got me started watching bad movies. Okay. So Mystery Science Theater 3000, started in Minneapolis. It started at a little TV station here. I started watching it, you know, when it first came out, when Joel Hodgson was the host. And of course, you know, they show the worst of the worst. And I think they did Manos, Hands of Fate. And they've also done it, I think, on Riff Tracks. And it's just awful. But about the only thing that's filmed there. So, you know, what am I going to do next time? I'll probably go back to the same place and just redo some of the pictures I've already done.
Right. What do you have any plans to go down near Leander, Texas?
You know, once in a while we go, we teach in Austin at Capital Metro. And so if we do, I'll go down, I'll visit Leander, because there were some movies. I think Dazed and Confused was filmed in Austin.
Days of Thunder was filmed not far from there. There's a whole bunch of cities. If you ever rent a car, you're going to need one. Within an hour radius of everything, you have Austin, which is a treasure trove of stuff there. What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Machete. There's so much there that I had to like cross things off. Like there's a lot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre stuff in Austin, outside of Austin. You have Wimberley, Texas, there's Round Rock. Waxahachie's a little bit north. Bastrop is a little bit south, but not very far, maybe 40 minutes south of Austin, along with What you just said, Leander. There's a lot that's right in that whole central area, right? Surround an hour surrounding Austin. There's so much, dude. There's so much stuff there that I could very easily go back down there and spend a week just in that area, just going crazy all over the place. I had to take a lot of stuff off of my list, but then I wound up finding stuff on the way that I didn't even think to look for. You know what I mean? Which is also cool.
Yeah, that's why I use Google Maps, because I, like I said, I have a map for every city, and then what I don't hit this time, I'm going to hit next time. So, hey, I'm going to Miami. I've got a map already that's from stuff I didn't get to 3 years ago or 4 years ago last time I was there. And I'll say, any new movies filmed in Miami? Okay. These three movies were filmed in Miami. I'll go ahead and download the movies. I'll watch the movies, look for filming locations. And there are some great resources out there. Ray and Belcher is always he's a great resource. About Los Angeles. Sean is a great resource.
Danny Johnson's a great resource.
Danny Johnson's a good resource. Yeah. Who else is really good? James Gillette's a good resource. There's a couple other people. Chaz Dempster, he's got a website, filming locations of Los Angeles and Chicago, and he's got freaking every movie that was filmed there. I mean, that's like, if I'm in Chicago or Los Angeles, that's one of my main resources. Him and SetJetter is really good.
SetJetter is really good. And Then and Now Movie Locations is really good.
Yes. Yeah. Then and Now is good because it lets you kind of, I can see. Because sometimes you drive by a location. Like, I guess one of my favorite ones that I've done is Escape from New York.
Okay. Sure.
All of those ones with Snake Plissken. And they filmed it in St. Louis because they had just had a huge catastrophic fire, and it looked like a trash hole. I mean, it looked awful.
Really?
And so you're driving around, and of course they've kind of refurbished everything, but in the last 25 years since it came out, and sometimes you're driving around and stop the goddamn car. This is the location right here. Stop right here. And you stop, you hop out, you take a picture, you hop back in, and you got it. It's that adrenaline rush of the hunt, right?
Absolutely, man. Like, I'll find that. And have you ever, like, it happens to me a lot. Like, I got a spot. It was on Girolamo Street, downtown Brooklyn, by all the courthouses. It was a shot of Christopher Walken and DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can. They're standing on the corner, and I've lined it up perfectly. It blends together perfectly. Just yesterday, I'm literally on the same exact corner taking a picture of, I mean, it's not a movie, but it's Paul Castellano being led into FBI headquarters when he was arrested in 85, about 6 months before he got killed. But it's like literally the same corner. It's like, I was here 2 months ago doing this, and all I got to do is literally 4 feet this way, I take a picture this way, and there it is. There's so much stuff like that. It's awesome. It
happened to me so often. I was in Los Angeles, like 4 years ago, I was in Los Angeles, and I didn't have a rental car. So I take like an hour long bus ride, a 45 minute bus ride, and then walk my ass off to get to Toretto's house, right?
Okay.
And then, but 2 years later, two or 3 years later, I'm going to try to find this time? I'm going to try to find Toretto's Market. I take an hour-long bus ride, walk for 45 minutes. It's like you can see the house from Toretto's Market. Toretto's Market. They're literally like you could walk between the two in 3 minutes, but I didn't think to take the picture. And that happens so often that, you're in one neighborhood and you see, and that you go back 2 years later for another picture and you go, I remember that house. That's the house from Michael Jackson. That's the house from Thriller, and I'm here to get another picture. And I had to walk by this other house that I'm now taking a picture of.
It happens all the time. It's so awesome. I love it, man. So it's the best when you have that feeling. Like I've said this on numerous occasions too. When you finally get to somewhere that you've been wanting to hit, or one of your favorites, maybe for you it was Better Off Dead or something like that, where yes, I enjoy all the things that I do, but then there's some that give you that feeling where you stop and you're just like, holy shit. Like, I can't believe I'm here right now. You know what I mean? Like, that happened to me. What pops out is on two occasions where I make a left on a, it's called Alfred Lane. It's up in New Rochelle, New York. It's a little upstate, not too far though. And I make a left and it's a super quiet block. There's nobody out. It's like the suburbs. And I stop my truck and it's 16 and 19 Alfred Lane. I get out of the middle of the street and I look to my left. I look to my right. I'm just like, I am on the set right now of Goodfellas, where Ray Liotta walks from the driveway, crosses the street, and pistol whips the guy in the other driveway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The houses are the same. It's just like, this is crazy to me. And that, and when I was inside the original house from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is now a restaurant. But when we got there, they were closed. So I'm like, oh, I'm a little bit bummed. So I'm taking my shots of whatever outside pictures I have. And I hear a couple of people around the back. So I'm like, whatever. So I go in the back and it's two guys drinking a couple of beers, smoking a cigarette. They work there. And the place is closed. They're just hanging out after work, just hanging out, shooting the shit, drinking a beer. So they're like, oh, what's up? Super nice. And I'm like, yeah, what's going on? And I show them what I was doing. Next thing you know, the husband and wife that own the place come out. I show them. They're like, go ahead, man. We had free roam of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre house. And the guy, the only thing that has changed about it, they built a deck off to the right side and there's a bar that's attached. But the actual, if you cut it off, the actual whole house is the same. So the owner, I don't remember his name, Eric, I believe his name was. We were walking through, and the first time that I actually stepped into that house was through the built the bar area that's built into it, that's built on. I walk in and I'm standing there and I look at him and I realize where I am and I got chills. And I'm just like, I look at him, I'm like, am I standing where I think I'm standing right now? And he laughed and he went, yeah, buddy. And it was at the doorway where you first see Leatherface raise the hammer and hit the guy. Mm-hmm. I'm standing right there because as soon as I look, I'm looking and I look down the hallway and I see the front door in front of me and the stairs are on my left. That right there, I was even telling my girlfriend, I'm like, I'm having a moment right now. Like, I can't believe that I'm here. Like, what am I doing here right now? So that's like the thrill of being in a place where you never thought, because that attaches, you know, things to nostalgia as a kid and stuff. Like, what, I never in a million years thought that I would ever be in Kingsland, Texas, walking up the stairs of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house, ever. Amazing, yeah. Amazing, amazing shit, man.
And it's nice when you go to a place and the people are really welcoming and they're, oh yeah, would you like to take a picture of my house? Or would you like me to take a picture of you and standing in front of this filming location?
Yes.
You know, there's like, it's pretty famous. The people that own the house from Goonies are not very nice. They don't want, and I get it. People, you know, I don't trespass onto people's property. Like if it's a house, I'll stand on the sidewalk, but I won't even go into the driveway.
Right.
The nicest people I've met are the people that own the house from Halloween, you know,
really?
The one where Jamie Lee Curtis is sitting. It's Jamie Lee Curtis's house in the movie, you know, her parents' house. And she's waiting for her friend to come pick her up. And she's sitting kind of on this.
On the corner.
She's sitting on the corner. She's got a pumpkin in her lap. Right.
Yeah.
So you go to that house and you walk up and you look right by where she's sitting. And there's a little box there. And it's got a plastic big pumpkin in it. And it's got, yes, this is the house. This is Jamie Lee Curtis's house. Please feel free to sit on this thing and take a picture of yourself and try to look like Jamie Lee Curtis. Here are some pictures from the movie so you can match them up. And just the sweetest people. So I stopped there once and took a picture. And then I was there. It's in South Pasadena. Filming location, greatest filming location in the one area is South Pasadena, because all of the houses, all the architecture from all of the houses are so different that when they want, you know, Better Off Dead or Back to the Future or places like that. It's all filmed in one, in that South Pasadena area.
Yeah.
So I stopped by the house again and I bought him a gift certificate from Starbucks and said, hey, there's a whole bunch of us out there that do this. And we just want you to know that you guys are famous for being so nice, welcoming people.
That's awesome to hear.
Just the sweetest people you'd ever want to meet. Yeah. You know, there's other people that are really nice. Some people will try to, you know, like I was, there's a movie called Sleeper with Woody Allen. And I managed to, that was filmed in Denver. And I managed to find, there's one, it's only on screen for about 3 seconds, but it's a really weird house, really expensive house. And it's kind of in the middle of Denver. And I, you know, I'm trying to line up the shot. And this lady walks in, says, what are you doing? I said, I'm just trying to take this picture. Would you mind if I step onto your property here? No, there's a perimeter security system. The police would be called immediately. But she said, but you can walk over there. Once she knew that, you know, I was taking a picture, and it wasn't like, oh, here's a weird house I'm taking a picture of. This is from the movie Sleeper. She said, you can't come onto the property, but you can walk down the sidewalk and take a left. And there's an area there where you can get a nice picture of the backyard and the house. So she ended up being okay.
All right. I guess it's all right. She kind of redeemed herself a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's like a $2 million house in the middle of Denver, and it's a hoity-toity neighborhood and all that. And she doesn't like people because you let one person traipse through your backyard and suddenly you got everybody walking through your backyard.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. You open up the floodgates. Yeah. It's cool. There was, where was it? It was the same place where the opening scenes, the opening credits, the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, Pflugerville, Texas. And literally a half a mile down the road is, here's a shit show of a movie that you'd probably love, but it's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, the one with Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger. Mm-hmm. It's so bad. It's terrible. So, but there's a shot of the house that's from the street, and it's literally like the only house for a long way. So it's like, there's me, my girlfriend looks like a vampire. So it's like, we stick out like sore thumbs. So we pull over like a little bit down in this, it was closed. I don't know what kind of a building it was. It was because we pull into the driveway. We walk a little bit down the road, and I'm like, I'm on the road, but I'm kind of taking pictures of this house. And I see it like a, it's like a silhouette of like this big dude, like in the doorway. And I'm like, you know, I'm in the middle of Texas, you know, I don't know. So me trying not to be the creepy guy, because it would look like I'm up to no good if I just walk away or just like run, you know what I mean? So I kind of just wave at him like, hey, how are you? And he comes out, and I told him while we were there, sure, man, come on to the property. So he let us take a whole bunch of pictures on the property, and I was bullshit with him for like 20 minutes. Super nice. But you know, not everybody's like that. And plus being in Texas, I don't know what the hell to expect. I could disappear easily down there. Have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So yeah, I love doing this stuff. I wish I had more time to do it, but the majority of my time, any kind of free time that I have, it's researching or planning or actually out there trying to get these spots.
Yep. It's a cool hobby, you know? And I know there are a couple of people who said, well, you know, why don't you do a YouTube video and monetize it? Then it's not a hobby. I don't want to monetize anything. I've got all the money I need, and I don't need to monetize anything. It's just extra work to do a YouTube thing. That's great for people that want to do it. And there are some, like Scott on Tape, I think, that guy helped me to find, I mean, I live in Minnesota now, but I got a daughter that lives up here and a sister and brother-in-law and all that kind of stuff. So we were up visiting like last winter, the winter before, and I wanted to hit some locations from Fargo. And great movie, fantastic. Some movie in some location. That's actually the first location I ever did, was the parking ramp in downtown Minneapolis where he goes to try to drop off the money, and then the guy gets shot. He shoots the guy. Yeah.
That was your first ever spot.
First ever spot I did was that one. And then the second ever one was a horrible movie. The Wraith.
That movie's terrible. You've hit a lot of spots from The Wraith. A lot. I see a lot of Wraith coming up from you.
There is. I hit virtually every location available from The Wraith, and actually got a like by from one of the guys who was in the movie. Clint Howard. Clint
really?
Howard.
Really?
Yeah, Clint Howard liked what liked my video a couple of times. He liked a couple of my posts, which was that was nice. That him and him and Dennis Quaid were probably my two top most famous people that have liked my posts.
Nice.
But yeah, the Wraith was my that was probably my one of my first that and the one from that scene. But yeah, Scott on Tape helped with there's a filming location that is it's in the very start of the movie when he's driving and just driving in the middle of a snowstorm. And he helped me find the location where a screenshot comes from this is like, we're talking Minnesota in the middle of winter in farmland, how he found that location. I'm amazed sometimes at how some of these people find these locations. They're really good at it.
I'm glad that you just said that, because it just jogged my, you know, a couple of my favorite ones that you've done is out in the middle of the desert from Casino.
Yeah, don't tell anybody. I popped a tire on my rental car doing that. And the thing was, so yeah, it's a thing called the Gene Dry Lake Bed. It's the filming location from Casino, but when they meet they meet out De Niro and Joe Pesci meet
Joe
out.
Joe Pesci, sure.
Yeah, and then
great
scene. Yeah, and then they recreated that scene in the movie Hangover when they're trying to get their friend back. It's the exact same location. So we go out to the Gene Dry Lake Bed, and I've got a rental car, and I'm driving around, and we drive around the dry lake bed getting all these pictures. Not a problem at all. Get back onto the street, the paved road. I hit a pothole. It was like 7 feet deep, and suddenly, pow! Well, what the hell was that? I think we popped a tire, man. So it's 108 degrees out there, and we're supposed to be going to the airport to pick up a friend. And I gotta go out there and change the tire. Now what do we gotta do? Okay, now we gotta go pick up a friend. Now I gotta go and gotta go back to the, because I got this little donut tire on it. Sure. I gotta go back to the airport to the rental car place. But I can't let them see where I've been in this rental car. So we got to take it to a place to get it washed. So I got to take a place to get it washed. And it can't be one of the places where you run it through, because I gotta wash off the tire and the wheel that's in the trunk of the car, because that thing's covered with like a half an inch of red dust from the dry lake bed. So yeah, that was the whole thing. But yeah, and I'm sure I lost some of those pictures too. So next time I teach in Vegas, I'll have to go back.
Yeah, so that's in Vegas. How bad is it to drive around in the lake bed, though? Are you driving like super slow, like you're gonna bust your tires?
No, it's. I mean, there's a lot of people driving those four wheelers. You know, the four wheel with a cage. Yeah. A lot of people driving around like that. People with four wheel drive trucks. I was in like a Mazda, so the only thing you had to worry about, it's a dry lake bed with about 2 inches of dirt on top of dusty dirt on top of it. So you just had to make sure that you didn't get high centered and get stuck. Other than that, it wasn't bad at all.
Okay. All right. Cause I would love to try to find one of those spots.
Oh, it's an easy find. You go to Vegas and you get on, 15. Yeah. 15. And then you go, 12 miles south of Vegas, and there are signs for it. Gene Dry Lake Bed. Then it's just getting out there and kind of lining up the mountains in the background.
Yeah.
And then there's another place in Vegas. Oh my God. Maybe the one of the worst movies ever made. Megaforce.
I've never seen it.
Oh my God. It's about all the nations in the world come together and create a mega force, a police force.
Of course they do.
Of course they do. And they've got a super secret operation in the middle of the desert underground. And it was filmed using this weird technology. It was like a green screen, but you could actually interact with things that were in front of the green screen. And it wasn't used very long. And it was weird. It's so going back and doing trivia, there used to be this TV show called, Operation Petticoat.
Okay.
Not the movie with Operation Petticoat, but the TV show, which is about a pink submarine in World War II and a bunch of nurses that are stranded because they're stranded on this submarine along with all the sailors. And it was the first, series that Jamie Lee Curtis was in. And there's also this really, really pretty actress named Melinda Naud, N-A-U-D. And she was in that. She was in that movie also. Famous, if you Google her, famous for dating John Schneider, the guy from Dukes of Hazzard. They dated for a long time. But anyway, so what happened was she met, you know who you know, the guy who played Trapper John on MASH?
Yes.
Okay, so she met him at a celebrity tennis tournament, right? Even though he was already married and had been married for years, they started dating. She gets pregnant. She has the baby. He paid for years for that kid, and then was supposed to be, the kid was supposed to be taken care of in his will, and he died and didn't leave the kid anything. So now she sues the estate for millions of dollars because this kid had like a congenital heart defect or something like that. Yeah. And anyway, the whole reason I'm thinking about her is because her company, her dad's company, is the one that invented this thing that was in Megaforce. Just a horrible movie. They had, you know, and they had, let's see, well, if it's Megaforce, we got to have an Asian guy. We got to have a black guy.
Of course.
We got to have a Hispanic guy.
Yeah.
We got to have a guy that flies the rebel flag. I don't know why, but you got to have a white trash guy. So you got to have one of everything.
Of
oh God. Awful. Watch that movie.
I will.
And the if you're from like from the 90s, you know, there's a, or 80s, there's a band called 707. They were from New York.
Okay.
They sang the theme song for Megaforce, which I'm a little ashamed. It's actually a pretty good song.
All right.
But but the end of the movie, it's got Barry Bostwick on a flying motorcycle taking off, and then he has to navigate it into the back of a C-130, and it's just the worst piece of garbage. And and Persis Kambada, the lady who was in she was the bald lady from the first Star Trek movie.
Okay. Yeah.
How they tell each other they love each other is they do this. It's the weirdest thing.
So
I've ever
weird,
seen.
Dude.
It's the weirdest thing. I don't know what the director was thinking of, but oh my God, see, this is why I love the horrible movies.
Yeah. Now I gotta ask you, does your wife sit down with you and watch these terrible movies too?
Oh God, listen. No, listen. Last time we did, when it was on, it was, I think it was Green Mile. I had to, and I shit you not, I had to pay her $10 to listen to a vomit of trivia. Hey, let me, okay, here's $10. Okay, you've got 5 minutes. Okay, this guy here is the guy who played, he does the voice of Mr. Krabs, okay, on SpongeBob SquarePants. His name is Clancy Brown. Also, he was in the movie Starship Troopers. Now, Starship Troopers, the guy who gets shot in the head accidentally, which makes Casper Van Dien get whipped and then sent back and made a private again, he gets shot in the head. He actually married the actress who was the one who shot him in the head. Now, that guy is also in... Can't Buy Me Love. You know, you've got the geeks, right? The two geeks, and then you've got the main friend who kind of is picking on him, and then they have two friends, or that guy has two friends that are the baseball players. One of those guys is the guy that got shot in Starship Troopers and got his head blown off. The other guy is Gerardo. If you remember that song, Rico Suave. That's Gerardo from Rico Suave is the other, the Hispanic kid in that movie. See, that's why I love trivia. It just it fits together like this.
Yeah,
you know?
The nerd shit. It's great.
My wife is in no mood to hear any of that shit, so I had to pay her last time, and she hey, can I tell you a piece of trivia? Nope, not interested in the trivia. So
no. So enough.
So I vomited all over my students when I'm at class.
That's hilarious, man. That is funny shit. So I have to watch Megaforce. I have to watch, what's the one that you said was the most horrible ones where the guy killed himself?
Oh, Manos Hands of Fate.
Yeah, that thing.
He walks, the guy that committed suicide, and suicide, of course, is not a funny thing, but the guy who ultimately did it was like a community, community actor, a community theater actor, and he walks really funny, and you find out after the movie was over that his interpretation, or the director's interpretation of his character, was he had goat legs, and you know, goat legs are like they bend the other way, so he was like, he walks like he has goat legs. And oh, and actually that movie was made as a result of a bet between a famous writer named Sterling Siliphant, who actually wrote, I think he wrote a couple of Star Trek episodes maybe, and a guy that owned like a car dealership. When the guy bet Sterling Siliphant that he could make a movie for $10,000, and he did.
Oh,
and
God.
It's movie's still being shown today, and it is awful. It's called Manos Hands of Fate. Awful. awful movie.
Awful. I'm jotting that down because
I mean, get yourself an edible and take it and then sit and watch the movie. It's truly a thing of wonder.
And then Megaforce, because that's just, you know, they make a Megaforce, and why wouldn't they?
Well, oh yeah, and I mean they were all prepared to have it be a whole series of movies, you know, like Megaforce, Megaforce 2, Megaforce 3, and it tanked so badly.
It's so good. It's so good. I love terrible movies too. That's why I was like, I have to talk to you, especially like, what are we going to talk about? Dude, we've been going for an hour and 22 minutes already.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's, you know, the thing about like, let's say Better Off Dead. No, yeah. Forget Better Off Dead. Like Back to the Future is everybody knows where all the frickin' filming locations yes. are. And you go on any given day and there's five people at the, yeah. at the Twin Pines Mall. And not that people shouldn't do it. That's great.
Sure. But
you try to find the filming locations from Hellbaby. That
yeah,
that's a thing. I mean, when you can sure. find like, because a lot of these movies are filmed like guerrilla style, so they didn't maybe have a filming permit. They nope. just show up on the street, and yeah. a lot of the really here's one I want to get to. There's a movie called Blood Harvest, and it was filmed okay. in Marshfield, Wisconsin, and it starred Tiny Tim. Is that the singer? Yeah, Tiny Tim, as a guy who's a little mentally off, and he always wears clown makeup and clown clothes. And is he the serial killer that's ripping people's bodies up and hanging them upside down? Plot twist, it's not. I've ruined it for you. It's somebody else. But it's...
You gotta get that.
You try to find some of those filming locations. There's a movie called Giant Spider Invasion. Again, okay. made by the same guy that made Blood Harvest. And it's got the giant spider in this movie was a Volkswagen that they covered in fur and put some huge pipe cleaners on. And when awesome. They drive it around, it's just awful. But I drove to that goddamn place and I spent an hour and a half there finding filming locations. And, you know, that's like you got, excuse me, can I ask you directions? There's a movie that was filmed here. Hang on just a second. I got my dad was in that movie. I'm going to call him and he's going to come over here and he's going to tell you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I love it when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, man. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does happen, it's great. When you get invited into somewhere or something like that, that happened down in Texas.
Yeah.
It was the first series of reboots for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the one with Jessica Biel, the one from 2003 with Arlie Ermey and stuff. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I'm behind. God.
You're probably going to end the podcast when I say this. I have never seen any of the Texas Chainsaw movies ever. I am not a horror.
I'm over here rambling on because you mentioned the cemetery and Leander thinking that you were hip.
I'm not hip, man. I just, I'm not generally a horror movie guy.
Okay.
I think I've seen one of the, Johnny Depp was in it. I've seen one of the Friday the 13th movies, by the way. Jason in Outer Space, that movie blows chunks too. That it's, I've seen that movie because that's a
horrible Jason X.
That's it, Jason X. That is awful.
It's so bad. Yeah. There's a lot. Once, listen, as a whole, the entire franchise is pretty much trash, but the first four make sense for what it is. Five and six, you start to go off the rails. And then from six on, it's a shit show. It's a complete shit show. And Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday. See, it was like, there was like contract and legal shit. It's not even technically, it doesn't say Friday the 13th in the title. And Jason X, it doesn't even say Friday the 13th because it was like legal shit. But Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday is garbage. You would probably love it. It's so bad.
They pretty much lost me when Corey Feldman ended up going crazy at the end of the movie and becoming another Jason.
That was part four. That's like my favorite one.
Yeah.
The final chapter. Yes. I have a couple of spots that are somewhere oddball spot, which the house from that movie was used in episodes of The Walking Dead. It was used in the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Eraser. It was used in several different movies, that house, and I need to get there. That's one of the bucket list spots I need to get to.
Yeah. Atlanta is another great place for filming locations. You know, probably Los Angeles, number one, New York, two. For me, Atlanta, number three, because all of the Avengers and all of the Marvel Universe movies, also Walking Dead filmed there.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, on this next one, I'm doing California, depending on time, I'm doing California for like a week. I'm thinking about doing like 12 days to two full weeks this time instead of just 8 days, because I want my daughter's coming with me this time and she wants to see some parts of Cali. So I'm doing all of Cali. I want to drive through Arizona, hit New Mexico, stop off in Tulsa, and then fly out.
Tulsa's good. Now, who lives in Tulsa? It's Danny.
Danny. It's Danny. He owns the Outsider's house.
Yeah, I felt bad, you know, because I lived in Oklahoma for 25 years. I just moved out of there, you know, about 8 months ago, and I never saw the Outsider. I never went up to Tulsa.
It's an experience, man. It is incredible what he did out there.
Yeah.
It's amazing what he did. Yeah. That's a whole other podcast in and of itself, but we went up there and he bought the house across the street because the museum is a museum. There's not even running water in it, but there's a bathroom outside and whatever, you know, whatever. But across the street, he bought a house and he turned it into a legitimate Airbnb, and it's called the Greaser Hideout. And you could rent it out and it's a whole house, it's washer and dryer, everything. So I spent the night in there. But I mean, to talk about movie magic, I mean, tell me you've seen The Outsiders.
I've read the book twice.
Okay.
I've read the book twice. I at least have watched parts of it because all the people that came out of Tom Cruise, Ralph Macchio,
Matt Dillon, Patrick Swayze, Diane Lane. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what made me, but I downloaded it and watched at least parts of it God, maybe I was traveling to somewhere where it was going to be, but there was something that made me watch parts of it just a couple months ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome movie. But when I was in Oklahoma, we were coming up from Texas. The first spot we stopped in was Oklahoma City because I wanted to see the bombing memorial, you know, so we stopped there, which is a beautiful memorial that they created there. And then we went over to Tulsa. Well, actually, right before we hit Tulsa, we went to Hichita, Oklahoma. It was the only place on the entire road trip where I literally had no cell phone service. Couldn't even make a phone call, nothing. And I paid my respects and I found the legitimate graveyard, the Indian graveyard for Will Sampson, Chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, which was, and I thought it was kind of cool. It's like, who can you, you know, who do you know that has done this? And that when did I ever think that I would ever be able to visit his grave and leave him a pack of Juicy Fruit? If you know the movie, you know. So I left him a pack of Juicy Fruit. And then thank God the rental car that we had like satellite, so we were able to get the hell out of there. But it was in the middle of literally nowhere. The sticks, for real. Like, it was a tiny, it's maybe 100 feet by 100 feet, little off the beaten path, way back. You would never even know it was there, but it's just a legitimate Indian burial ground, and that's where he's buried.
Cool.
Man, very cool. It's all these places that doing this whole film location, and just not even just films, but you know what I mean, all these different locations just bring you to places where I never thought I would be. So many of them.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, who think you'd go to? Oh God, I can't think of the name of it. It's you got to fly into Milwaukee and then drive 90 minutes south to go to this little tiny backwater place. But in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, that's the place that they stay the last night when they really start to bond, you know. Yeah. And then they back the car into the thing, and it's in Northern Illinois. And man, there's really nothing there. And my friend was nice enough to, and we're going to teach in Appleton, Wisconsin. Okay. But do me a favor. Can we fly into Milwaukee, drive 90 minutes south, and then drive, you know, back up there? Yeah. Okay. Fine. We'll do it. But, you know,
because
I got to take a picture of this weird place. Yeah. He is pretty much done with me. That's the guy that was in the car when we were robbed in Oakland about a week and a half ago. And also we almost got him killed in Chicago. Last time I was in Chicago, we stopped, and there were three of us in the car. We stopped and we went to the church from the Blues Brothers.
Okay.
Not the greatest part of town, but not horrible. So after this, hey, if we just keep in the south side of Chicago, the next place is, if you've seen U.S. Marshals, the very beginning of U.S. Marshals, where there's a guy in a chicken suit handing out, you know.
Yes.
Okay. And then this car pulls up and parks. And then the guy takes the top half of the suit off and he pulls out a gun and it's Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
So I wanted to recreate that picture. Right. So we park along the street. One of my instructors and I, we go around to recreate this picture. And while we were doing that, we leave. This guy goes, yeah, I don't want to leave the car. I don't feel safe in this neighborhood. I'm going to sit in the car. I probably should have locked the door because some guy came up and opened the door. And as soon as he opened the door, the dome light came on. And when he saw my friend sitting in the back going like that, he closed the door and then walked away and just kind of kept his eye on the car. So that guy's pretty much done taking pictures with me now.
Yeah, you're putting him in harm's way.
Well, if he had just come with us, he would have been fine.
That's right. You see?
His choice to sit in the car, yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, man, this is like-minded people that are into this shit. It's nerdy shit. I love all this stuff, man. And yeah, this was super fun, man. Now you gave me recommendations, so I gotta search them up. BFlix, you know what BFlix is? BFlix. It's probably like an illegal website or whatever, but they have so much stuff on there, unheard of shit. So it's like my little recommendation.
It's a website where you can hit all of your...
It's movies. Movies.
All the movies you want free of charge?
Free. BFlix.
BFlix.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll write that down and I'll hit it.
My daughter now is 13. About 4 years ago, she wanted to watch The Basketball Diaries with Leonardo DiCaprio, but she couldn't find it anywhere. She calls me. She's like, hey, Dad. I'm like, what's up? She's like, I found an illegal website. I'm like, what? She's like, 9. I'm like, what? And she told me about it. I watch everything on BFlix, man.
I'm trying to find the one. What is the one that I usually, God, I can't remember what it's called, but it's, Soap Today, SOAP and the number 2 and then day, soaptoday.to. Basically same thing, that you can watch any movie in the world that you want, basically. Yeah. And it's one of the other guys that does a lot of filming locations. He said that's how he gets his screenshots.
Yeah,
which is good, because I do all my screenshots, and then you know the what sucks sometimes, you put them on your iPad, but you're out there in the bright sun. It's hard to line up a shot. It's easier to print them out, but then you got a lot of money goes out the window for ink then. So,
yes.
So that's cool. So he's like, we went out not too long ago, and I was down in Orange County, and he said, hey, come on over and we'll do some filming locations. So we did, what did we do? We did the Orange County courthouse from, Legally Blonde.
Okay.
And popped in there, took a picture, did a couple other filming locations. We went to the mall and did Kindergarten Cop. That's Sean Pease, and great guy, works at Disney. And he said, man, you got to get a tripod. It'll change your life. And sure enough, now you can tell he works for Disney, because he says, okay, hang on. Let me take your picture. Okay. And 3, 2, 1 and smile. You know, I'm going,
oh boy. Yeah.
He could tell he works with the public a lot doing those pictures.
Yeah.
I try to be stealthy. I try to take the picture, get out of there, but without anybody knowing what I'm doing.
Yeah, man. Same here. I'm in, I'm out, I'm done.
That's it.
Yeah, man. Dude, this was so much fun, man. I appreciate your time. Do you mind real quick? It'll take me 2 minutes. I have a couple of sponsors I need to shout out, and then I'll stop holding you hostage.
Not at all. Go right ahead.
All right. Are you a coffee drinker?
I have never had coffee in my life. I've never
had
tea.
Need to start drinking coffee and watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies.
Done. Well, I'll tell you what, you tell me who your sponsor is, and I'll go buy some of their goddamn coffee.
There you go. Dead Sled Coffee, DEADSLED Coffee. If you go to deadsledcoffee.com and you put in the promo code Delta Bravo, you will get 20% off of your order. You can also follow them on Instagram at Dead Sled Coffee. They do a lot of things with bands and movies. They have like officially licensed a lot of horror movie stuff, but like Rob Zombie and Kane Hodder, who played Jason 4 times, and Robert Englund, who's
Robert Englund,
you know, Freddy Krueger, and they do a whole bunch of, they have an Elvira blend, they have a whole bunch, and they have regular, you know, regular coffee and whatever. They have cold brew if you like ice coffee. They also have tea if you're a tea guy. They also have tea, but Dead Sled Coffee.
I've already ordered 30 pounds.
Awesome. See, that's what I like to hear. He's also a Delta Bravo guy, Tom Lefevre. He owns Main Street Jukebox, which is in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, nowhere near Philly, and not in a bad neighborhood at all. Follow them on Instagram at Main Street Jukebox. It's MAINST Jukebox. They also have a website, mainstreetjukebox.com. They've been around since 1994. Old school record store where you could buy vinyl, and it's just old school stuff. Family owned small local business. And last but definitely not least is Kevin Bednarz's businesses. He is he's also a Delta Bravo guy. Kevin's a good dude. He owns 3 pubs. It's the Percival Pub, the Ashburn Pub, and Percival Eats. They're all in the Percival and Ashburn areas of Virginia. If you just type in any of those 3 on Instagram or online, you could find them. So if you're in the area, you know, pop in and grab yourself a drink if you drink, or grab yourself a burger or whatever. But super good guy and successful businessman and just a good dude, Delta Bravo guys. But yeah, those are my 3 sponsors, all very local family-owned businesses. But yeah, man. So I appreciate your time. This was a lot of fun. I love talking about terrible, shitty movies. And yeah, man. So anytime you ever want, if you feel like shooting the shit any other time, let me know. We'll set it up and we can have another conversation anytime you want, my man.
Okay, sounds good. What borough do you live in?
I'm in Brooklyn. I'm in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
Bay Ridge. Okay, I'm teaching this summer. I'm teaching in, where am I going to be? Do you know 2 Broadway?
That's in Manhattan.
Two Broadway in Manhattan, right by the Charging Bull.
Of course, yeah, that's down by the Wall Street area.
Yep, that's where I'll be teaching. I'll be teaching at MTA headquarters.
There is, if you are staring, if you are looking at the Bull's Head face forward, right there, that building right to the left is scenes from.
Okay, if you're going to tell me that Men in Black. Or if
no.
You're gonna tell me
what's the movie with John Candy and Richard Pryor? What the fuck? Jesus.
Were they in a movie together?
Or am I fucking losing it? Am I losing it? Hold on. I don't know what's happening with me right now. What did I say? Trading Places? Brewster's Millions.
Oh, the one where, Brewster's Millions. That's the one where he has to give away all of this money in order to get a much larger prize.
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. It's on the Delta Bravo group page. I posted it December 12th, 2021. Brewster's Millions, Richard Pryor, and Spike Nolan as John Candy. It's formerly the First Bank of Manhattan, now an HSBC branch, 26 Broadway.
Well, shit, that'll give me something to do when I go down.
It's
there.
It's right there. There's a lot. You have to look, but all down that Wall Street area, there's a lot of stuff. Inside Man, I know, was filmed. There's a lot of stuff down there.
Yeah, Men in Black, where Will Smith has to make the decision whether he's going to join or not. That's in, I think it's called the Clinton Castle. Right.
Probably. There's Men in Black stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, outside the Guggenheim, I hit a bunch of Men in Black. Men in Black 1, 2, and 3 were all over the city. All over the city.
Yep, great place for filming locations.
Yeah, man. So let me know when you're around. We'll go grab. Well, I was gonna say grab a cup of coffee, but you know, we'll go get you. So we'll go get some pizza or something.
As long as it's DeFara's.
Well, come on, come on. How about? Have you ever had L&B?
I've had, I think all the good ones I've had, I've even
L&B Spumoni Gardens.
Oh yeah, I did not. You know, I didn't care for Spumoni Gardens that much. It was a little too thick for me. I like the really thin crust. L&B.
Well, you need like a grandma slice more. Like, and I get that. I get that. How about New Park Pizza on Cross Bay Boulevard in Queens?
Now, I have not spent much time in Queens.
And we got to bring you. We got to bring you to New Park. New Park is probably my personal. It's like my favorite actual regular slice of pizza.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Even better than DeFara's?
It's a little bit different. Listen, it's shots fired. I think DeFara's is a little bit overrated.
I would say overpriced, but let me, you know, listen.
Everything's overpriced. That goes without saying.
You know, when the old man was still alive, you'd go in there and he, you know, he's standing over the, he's, you know, nothing. There's none of the shit where this pizza was cooked 4 hours ago and you're going to reheat it. There's a pie in the oven. And then, you know, hey, can I get a slice of pepperoni? Jimmy, give me enough pepperoni for one slice. And then Jimmy, who's a little bit touched in the head, he's a cousin. Yeah. He goes back and he slices the pepperoni by hand and they bring it out on a plate. And then old man DeFara puts it on the slice. Then he gets the pie out and then he takes the fresh basil and he cuts it, you know, with kitchen shears and lets it. I mean, that's just New York, right?
It is. It's old school. It's an experience for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whatever. We'll go to DeFara's. How about that?
We'll do something. Yeah.
We'll do something. Let me know about a week out when you're going to come so I can adjust and I'll make it happen.
Okay. Sounds good.
Awesome, dude. Thank you. Thank you again for your time. This is going to come out I put them out about once every 2 weeks. I just recorded one. This is going to come out in a couple of weeks, but I'll tag you and let you know and you'll know when it's out. I'll let you know beforehand anyway.
Sounds good, Jimmy.
Awesome, dude. Thank you, Steve. Right. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. Talk to you soon, man.
Later, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.